owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. If you were to do a search for books on how military strategies and ethos transferred to the business world, you'd find a plethora of options. I remember when The Art of War, a tome written by Chinese General Sun Tzu in the 6th century BC, was required reading for almost every business executive. No one who's competed in the high-stakes endeavor of starting a business or walked the cutthroat aisles of the corporate world would probably disagree that there are parallels that can be drawn. At the very least, each one of us should always be looking to learn lessons wherever we can. Over the years of talking to veteran entrepreneurs here on American Warrior Radio, I've seen commonalities in their business plans and strategies, teamwork, team before self, discipline. Lately, I've also noticed a growing spirit of collaboration, entrepreneurs from varied disciplines adopting a proactive attitude of helping to lift up other veteran business owners. Today, we'll be talking with two veterans who are leveraging a very successful business model and leveraging it to help other veteran entrepreneurs. Their enterprise is called Apex Gear Company, and the co-founders are joining us on American Warrior Radio today. Nick Wyatt and Drew Everett, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, that was just a voice check there, buddy check. Drew, you're an Army veteran. Nick is a Marine, so I'm guessing your past didn't necessarily cross in the service, but your relationship goes much further back, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Drew and I actually met each other. I was in 4th grade and he was in 5th grade when he moved from Tennessee to North Carolina, where we grew up together and were friends ever since.
Okay. Now, Drew, why the military and why the Army for you?
Yeah, I think, I think my story is similar to a lot of people that joined the military. There's a lot of people that feel like maybe they don't have a lot of options or, you know, they're not really sure what they want to do. They have, you know, possibly a thirst for adventure. They want to, you know, get out of the small town, that kind of thing. And the military is a great path for that. And so that's kind of what drew me in. And there's an opportunity for me to go out and, you know, learn about myself and be my own man and have an adventure and figure out, you know, who I am and what I'm good at and what I want to do in life. And I might not have realized all that then when I was signing up, but that's certainly the tale for how it unfolded.
How long did you serve?
I did one enlistment, 4 years.
Okay, and what was your specialty?
I was an 11 Mike, and I don't know if they still structure it this way, but it's essentially an infantryman who rides around in a Bradley fighting vehicle. I think they use Strikers now, but we were vehicle delivery. It was infantry on delivery, basically, is what it was.
Nice. Just-in-time infantry.
That's right, yeah.
Nick, same question for you. Why the military, and in your case, why the Marines?
Yeah, I mean, so as far as the military goes, at the time when I started looking into the military and really thinking about it as a possibility for me, I didn't have a lot of drive, a lot of focus on really anything. I had graduated high school, and I didn't really, you know, have a lot of focus in high school, so I was like, you know, a BC student, just trying to get by and get out. Worked for my dad's shoe repair company for a little bit, moved around here and there, moved to San Francisco, came back, did a little community college, but again, no focus, not even really sure what I wanted to do. And so I just didn't have a lot of drive. And then I don't know what it was in me that got this bug about me to join the military. And, you know, it became my obsession. You know, I was like researching every branch, doing everything I could. I talked to like every recruiter, unlike everybody else, where they just go and basically the first recruiter that can like, you know, hook them in is usually who talks them into it, but not me. I went and talked to everyone. And something about the Marine, something about, you know, the idea of it being the hardest, or at least conceptually, that's the way it was to me. And I always wanted to go after something that was incredibly difficult and, you know, see what I was made of, see what was going to make me the toughest in my mind. And so that's why I went after the Marines. It just seemed like the right fit for me. I was always like hyper competitive. My brother wound up joining a Naval Special Operations. So we've always been very competitive with each other and stuff. So we went in different paths, and I knew I couldn't get one up necessarily, or he the same thing with me. And so I know that that had to have been an initial driving force. If it wasn't outwardly present for me, it definitely was something I was thinking about, or something there deep in the nether regions of my brain on why I joined the Marines. Now, you know, later on, I could, if someone were to ask me that at the time, I'd be like, I'm not really sure what the thinking process was here, but if you could, in a retrospective type of approach, that's probably, where my mind was at the time.
Now, I know every Marine is a rifleman, but did you have another specialty?
I did, yeah. And, you know, they do that because, you know, for those who don't join the Marines, don't know too many Marines, they just teach you how to be a rifleman. You have to carry it everywhere around. You have your rifleman's creed and what have you. But I was an 0351 assaultman. So that's infantry with a specialty, a little different than what Drew was doing. So my job was I had a rocket launcher, demolitions, and breaching, right? So making breaching charges, things like that. I'd be in a rifle platoon in Afghanistan or wherever. For me, it was Afghanistan, but in a rifle platoon, I would attach to a team, and I'd be a regular infantry guy most of the time. But if they ever need that specific specialty, then that's when, you know, my expertise would come in handy. I was in a helicopter unit, so for Army people, they call it air assault. We just, you know, it was a helo company. Each company had a designation, and mine was helo, so like fast roping, things along those lines.
So you and Drew are childhood buddies. Now you're business partners. So it's okay if Drew brings out the crayon jokes every once in a while, or we don't talk about that?
He likes to do that.
I just saw a good one on the interwebs, but I won't bring it up because I haven't earned the right to play that game. You guys always been kind of schemers and entrepreneurs. What was your first endeavor? I mean, did you actually have like a lemonade stand together as kids, or?
Well, I mean, our first endeavor. So the first thing that I think paid us dividends that we did together when we were kids is we'd go to the Harris Teeter grocery store and we would absolutely wipe out the free sugar cookies for kids. Now, it's not a monetary return per se, but it puts calories in the food bank and it didn't cost us anything. So we're definitely schemers there. We never had a lemonade stand as a kid. We spent a lot of time skateboarding and riding bikes around town. I think we're probably just, we had too much energy to think about business at that age. But, our first endeavor got started a couple years ago, on an e-commerce direct-to-consumer, product-based business. And his family had, his family owned and operated a series of shoe repair stores, and they also did foot performance. So that's people coming in the door with, you know, foot pain, you know, different problems like that. They're getting their footwear modified. They're looking for solutions, stuff like that. And his dad went to school to learn how to do that stuff. And so Ricky Wyatt was actually in the Navy as well. But he designed, invented, and patented an orthotic shoe insole that could be mass-produced. And that's a very special thing because, you know, there's a lot of science out there about that type of product and how to fix, you know, how to be corrective and fix problems. But typically that's highly individualized. And so the idea that you would introduce mass production and economies of scale to that type of problem solving was really novel. And this was about 20 years ago. And it was really successful. They had, you know, a lot of happy customers locally. Sold it in their shops in North Carolina. When his dad announced his retirement, it was actually kind of an interesting time because Nick and I had always been wanting to go into business together. And we just kind of thought, hey, you know, what's up with the shoe insoles? You know, is there an opportunity there? And we looked at it and, you know, yeah, let's build a brand around it. Let's put it online. Let's create a website, do social media marketing, stuff like that. And so that kind of got our toes in the water. That was about 2.5 years ago. And we've been running and gunning on e-commerce and social media marketing ever since. Okay. And that's kind of what led into the opportunity here today.
Okay. And is that company still around? The shoe?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Nick.
Yeah. Foot. Yes.
Don't be shy. Promote it. Give us a website.
So that's footmedicinsoles.com. You know, it's veteran owned as well, obviously, because we're the owners of it. It's, you know, a lifetime guarantee, American made insole. The only one that we, that, you know, it's the only insole on the market that's American made, veteran owned, and, gives a lifetime guarantee. Helps a lot of people. It's not for everyone, but it's, you know, it helps a lot of people with fatigue and different problems, that they could be facing. It's really big in law enforcement. They're on their feet all day. They, you know, struggle with stuff. We have a lot of firefighters that do it as well. We always try and help them out as much as possible. And so, yeah, that's, you know, I've been around that my entire life. You know, I've been around the shoe repair and then, you know, the orthotics lab. I even worked in my father's orthotics lab, just after high school for a while. So, you know, all the ins and outs of the orthotic industry, or at least from a, from what my dad is a podorthist. So it's kind of like a, the way that a pharmacist works for a doctor is the way a podorthist does for a podiatrist. So I was dealing with a lot of, you know, podiatrists and their orders that they would give or their prescriptions and help them with that. So it was a natural transition from the technical side for me, and then the same from a sales side for Drew, because he's worn them all his life, believed in them. But also Drew has a solid sales background in a few different companies that he's worked in the Fortune 500.
Okay, fellas, we're going to have to take a commercial break real quick. There's not a footmedic.com commercial in there yet, but you just got a free one, if I got that correctly. In the introduction, I mentioned the businesses, the parallels between business and war, and who better to ask about those similarities than you two fellas who actually, you know, trained for war and also competed in business. So when we come back, I'm going to couch this in a series of Sun Tzu-based questions. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking about a relatively new endeavor called Apex Gear Company. We're joined by the co-founders Nick Wyatt and Drew Everett. Nick and Drew, I teased before the break because I mentioned Sun Tzu and the introduction. Did either of you in your corporate lives have to read that, or were told to read it, or did you just read it? Well, have either of you ever read it?
Well, I dabbled in it a little bit when I was younger. Actually, back when I was doing that early military investigation, I was just, you know, I was like, oh, I got to read Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I just was all in. I've never worked in a corporate culture or even in school where they had that as required reading. So I don't know if I even ever finished it. I was like, my brain was all so scattered, but I definitely read parts of it and still own it to this day.
Nick?
I own the book. I've read it. I think I've read it twice. You know, full disclosure, I think I remember about 10% of it. However, some of the podcasts and other things, other types of media that I consume daily, weekly, they, you know, they reiterate and reinforce a lot of those types of.
Come on, fellas. It's not a thick book.
It's not a thick book, but man, there's a lot of reading out there. You know, there's a lot. And, I think it's been a couple of years since I've revisited that one, but you know, but I hear those principles brought up on other podcasts, you know, frequently. So,
well, I know you fellas didn't expect a quiz, but we're going to give you one for the rest of the show. So we're going to start with some Sun Tzu-isms. I don't know, I might have just invented that phrase. In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity. Nick, give us a little history on how this idea for Apex Gear Company came into being.
Sure. So, you know, we were talking about before how we had that that orthotics company. And, you know, a few months, several months back, we started coordination with another veteran-owned company that we thought would be a complementary product on our website. And we were trying to figure out all the intricacies on them holding the inventory, but us working with them to have their products on our site, our products on their site, what the difficulties were. And while we weren't, what came about organically with regard to how we came up with this idea, it was almost as if we saw an opportunity. So we were thinking all of a sudden, I believe it was Drew that had the first idea that he broached to me. It was like, what if there was just one single shopping place where you could go to get all veteran brands, kind of like the Amazon of veteran brands? And I was like, this is a fantastic idea. Why does it not exist? I'll bet it does exist. And we start researching. I'm like, I'm probably just dumb and haven't found it yet. And no, you know, you just couldn't find anything. And, you know, Drew and I are, you know, big supporters of veteran entrepreneurs. We care a lot about it. So we always try and reach out and search for, you know, veteran brands. But usually the biggest thing that we run into is, you know, unless I'm looking for, you know, the big ones like Black Rifle Coffee, or you've heard of grunt style or, mm-hmm. or things that, you know, at least were founded by veterans and stuff. Outside of that, you know, usually when you need something, you just go to Amazon or you go wherever it is, or you search for that thing. You don't search for veteran and then that thing. Or even if you do, that person might not be, you know, high on search engine optimization or other like ways to get their name out there. So it could be really hard to find them. And so when we were thinking about it, we were trying to think like, well, it's really hard to find one product, but it might be really easy if you can find all the products or most of the retail products made by veterans in this country. And so, you know, it came about like that. The ideas started flowing. We've developed several websites. So we started getting to work, developing the website, trying to figure out the logistics on how to incorporate a back end that can work with so many different vendors, so many different veteran entrepreneurs, communicating with so many different ones, just doing tons and tons of research. Because if it's hard to find one, I can promise you it can be hard to find, you know, dozens and dozens of them. And then opening up those lines of communication. So, that's where it came from.
You know, that's one of those things in life that you just, I'm surprised there wasn't anything like this out there before. I mean, you found a diamond there.
Yeah, well, and you know, we've heard that a lot from, especially from the veteran entrepreneur community. They're like, you know, either it's a long time coming or I kind of had this idea years ago or, you know, where what if there was something like this, you know, just pondering it and things like that. So, yeah, I think Drew and I both felt this, obviously, since we decided to action on this. But, you know, it's something that I feel a lot of people care about and, you know, a lot of people that either served or know people that served or just care, you know, they consider themselves patriots, believe in America, want to shop and support those who have worn the uniform. So it seems like it's the right time to do it since it hasn't been done.
Now, Drew, this is maybe for you or whoever wants to, your co-founder, so you guys decide. But I've explored your website, and, folks, it's apexgearcompany.com. There's lots of cool and very diverse stuff there. I can buy a custom handmade holster for my pistol and a beetroot pink bath bomb with flowers. Now, just so our listeners know, I'm a confident man, so I can use both. But how do you choose the companies that you partner with on your site?
Yeah, it's a great question. We're focused on diversity and breadth of catalog. So we want the website to offer as many types of things as possible. And we will, we'll go deep in some of those categories when we feel like there's an opportunity. But, you know, I mean, you said it, right? Holsters to bath bombs. I mean, beef jerky to wood flags. I mean, we want to have as many reasons and as many interesting things for people to come and visit as possible. So that's what we do. We kind of firestormed like social media to find veteran made products and veteran brands, and, you know, pre-launch, right? Before the website, while the website's still being developed, before it's actually live to the public. We wanted to populate it with as much as we could. And then we kind of took a beat and said, okay, what do we have? What categories are solid? Where can we improve? What categories are people looking for? You know, things like that, like, you know, apparel, you know, food and beverage, like those are perennial high volume sellers, right? We know that people consume a lot of those things. Those are easy purchases. It's what people are looking for, right? It's what they want. So we want to go deeper in those categories. So that kind of informs, you know, we look at sales a little bit, but we also look at the catalog itself and say, how can we be more well-rounded? And are there things that we want to build out? Like there's a lot of veteran sporting goods companies out there, believe it or not. There's people that are making baseball bats and lacrosse sticks. There's an outdoor, a backyard game called Rollers that's currently on the site. And, I mean, people are making, I mean, you name it, but sporting goods is like, you know, skateboards, for example. There's a lot there. And so we want to be super comprehensive and well-rounded in those areas. Same for apparel. You know, if you think about apparel, you think of footwear, you think of blue jeans, you think of T-shirts. So, you know, we want to have what people are looking for. And that's kind of that plus sales data. It kind of informs our search out into the world.
Yeah, you mentioned sales data, so I shouldn't assume, but A, they have to be veteran owned to get on the website. That's the basic,
yep.
The gatekeeper.
Correct.
There, right? But then you're also, yep, looking for something. You don't want you don't want just knuckleheads like American Warrior Radio on there. You want something that folks are actually buying, right?
Well, you know it's fun.
Do a little. Oh, you're right, Drew.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, the only thing that we are currently shying away from are, like, wholesale resellers, like, Bob's Electronics. And, yeah, Bob was a veteran, you know, he served in this branch or whatever, but, you know, he's got a computer shop and he's, you know, flipping HP laptops. Like, you know, no disrespect to that business or to Bob or anything like that. But, you know, as far as the marketplace right now, you know, wholesale, resale, kind of that kind of thing, the private label flip, that's not really like where we're headed. It's more like unique, veteran made, like unique brands, veteran owned type stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, but that's really the limitation on what we've got on there. So,
fellas, when we come back, my next Sun Tzuism that I'd like you to address is let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night, and when you move, fall like a thunderbolt. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Drew Everett and Nick Wyatt. They are the co-founders of Apex Gear Company. You can visit apexgearcompany.com to find out what this is about. It's basically an Amazon for veteran-branded and veteran-owned products. Gentlemen, I teased before the break, I'm on a Sun Tzu kick today, apparently, and one of the quotes was, let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night, and when you move, you fall like a thunderbolt. Now, I believe in learning from other people's mistakes. I'd rather have them make them and me learn from it than make this mistake myself. Your chosen debut date for the website was meant to fall like a thunderbolt, but looking back, maybe that back of a napkin idea in a pub somewhere didn't quite pencil out?
Yeah, so, you know, it was well before any of the, you know, current events were taking place in Afghanistan or anything like that, but yeah, when we first had the idea, we were like, you know, we got to strike while the iron's hot. Let's, you know, we're quick. We always like to operate as fast and as efficiently as possible. But at the same time, we saw this date coming up. And we're like, wow, that's such a significant date. You know, 9/11 was a pivotal moment in my life, and I know it was for most Americans that were of age to be able to recall it. You know, and it changed the way everything went. So when we saw that the 20th anniversary of 9/11 was coming up, we thought, you know what better time than to introduce the online marketplace exclusively for veteran brands for people to go shop and get excited about than the 20th anniversary of 9/11. What we didn't really think about was that all of the people that 9/11 and the 20th anniversary is super important to them and they care about it. It's a day that they reflect, that they go to memorials, that they go to spend times with their families, they have barbecues, they go out and there's lots of events in their communities and stuff. And so pretty much everyone that we were excited about, like to showcase getting online and seeing the platform for the very first time, it's like, well, they're out there like actually, you know, doing things to commemorate and remember the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So in theory, it really did seem like a great idea, you know, not just on how important it was to us, but, you know, it just seemed like a significant date. And in a time where, you know, as we got closer to the date, obviously the unfortunate events and the pullout of Afghanistan happened. And so it became even more topical in our opinion and even more important that we would actually like, you know, meet that deadline. But in hindsight, you know, most of the people that would shop on there, that would be excited for it, that believe in supporting veterans, they were out there doing it in real life and not online shopping. And so, you know, I guess the major lesson from that is there's, you know, ideas on when to launch. There's ideas on, you know, when things can work. But, you know, sometimes you got to think about the greater picture and what all the other things are around that moment on whether or not it is as significant to the people that you are marketing to or that you think are your customers or whatever it is. If it's as significant a moment specifically to you as all the other things that are going on in the world at that exact moment.
Well, that raised an interesting question. So who are your customers? I mean, I can see veterans going there to support other veterans, but also there's folks like me who never served and just like to do it because, A, I in general, I've found that they're, you know, they're great products. And in most cases, they're American-made. So really, your target demographic for the website or for buying these products is pretty much everyone.
Well, in doing a lot of research and stuff lately, you know, there's a lot of, like, news media and stuff that tries to portray it not this way, but somewhere around 69% of the American people consider themselves to be very patriotic or extremely patriotic. There's, like, 64% own an American flag, 51% consider them wear American-branded apparel. So there's an which means that it crosses political lines, it crosses demographic lines, it's not in cities or just in rural, it's not just rural communities, it's not cities. It is a lot of different people. It's people, you know, there's a massive statistic of people that, yeah, there's 19 million U.S. veterans currently in the United States, but something like 64% have some immediate or near immediate family member that did serve in the military. But not only that, I mean, I've lived in all sorts of places across the country and pretty much across the board, no matter whether it's on any across the political aisle or any demographic, people are very supportive of the military and the people who served that. And so I think that, you know, no matter what your feelings are about really anything, you know, it can be a place for you to feel good, to shop American made. A lot of our products, most of our products are made in America, but support those that, you know, kind of, you know, they wore the uniform, they served their country, and now they're continuing to try and, you know, build the economy, build something for their family and their community. And so I think that resonates with a lot more Americans than just the people who served or that are, you know, their parents or their siblings or somebody like that.
Nick, next Sun Tzu-ism question is for you. Who wishes to fight must first count the cost. How do you, and I always ask this of every veteran entrepreneur, how did you capitalize for this project? And in this case, how the heck do you make money?
Well, so actually I'll let Drew take that
okay.
one. It was Nick that was doing this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not in studio, so apologies, gentlemen.
No problem. Hey, Ben, before I tackle that one, I just want to add on to what Nick said. I mean, our customer is anybody who, one, is looking for unique things you're not going to find in other marketplaces. I mean, there's stuff here you're not going to get on Amazon. You're not going to get a Target. Really, really unique stuff. If you want to have a kind of a high-quality gift-giving experience, I mean, we're coming up on gift-giving season. So if you want to find some things that you probably haven't discovered before, that's a great platform to do that. The other thing is, you know, regardless of political affiliation or ideology, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, it crosses aisles, right? We serve in the military with people from all types of backgrounds, all belief systems. You know, there's active duty and veterans that are Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, you name it. There's a bunch of reasons why someone might feel disenfranchised with the current online offerings, you know, the options that they have for shopping online. And we want to provide an alternative to that. So regardless of what you believe in or follow, if you think it's a good idea to shop and support people here in the States, people that have served and wore the uniform, if you think those are good ideas, then this is the marketplace for you. It's a great alternative. And Ben, do you mind repeating the follow-up question?
Yeah, where did you come up with the capital? How did you get started? Or how did you
come
fund
up with capital? So we're bootstrapping it. You know, it didn't take a lot of money to get started. And we have just pulled together what we can. I think that's as far as we can answer that question. We're honestly in fundraising mode right now. So we're kind of opening that chapter of our business. But so far, we've been fortunate that we've been able to bring the skills that we brought to the table to kind of get this off the ground and get it going. And it's just been a lot of sweat equity, and we haven't actually needed a lot of cash money to get this going to this point.
Well, that's what's kind of cool about your business for me is, I mean, we all use it, you know, shop on the internet. I mean, I always try and buy local as much as I can, but on occasion, for example, there's been a I don't know, a run on mosquito repellent, and you can't find it in the stores anywhere. So I went to Amazon and bought some. But so explain how the back end of this works. So our shopping experience at apexgearcompany.com is all contained within the website, but then you don't have to carry the inventory or anything. Basically, then the partners are shipping it directly to the customer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so there's a reason, and that's intentional. So the value that we bring to the table is not putting a label on a box and shipping it out. We do fulfill our own Apex branded stuff. Obviously, we own that. And honestly, you know, I think there's a lot of other big marketplaces out there that have been well established for a couple decades. You know, the fortunate position that we're in is that the internet and, you know, website technology, internet technology has come so far since, you know, Amazon and Walmart and eBay and Etsy and those websites since they were founded, that, you know, we're able to kind of leverage a lot of the technology that they probably didn't have access to back then. And I've got to think if those marketplaces were started today, that they might look radically different. So what we're doing is we're tapping into the existing inventory streams and websites of established companies.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people that are selling online, whether they're selling a lot or selling a little, they're new, they're established, whatever. But these are people that are actively selling online, so they're shipping boxes every day, things like that. And all we're doing is we're adding a sales channel for them. So they're going to get the order from us once it's placed on our site. The customer experience is going to be very similar to Amazon or Walmart, where you can shop and browse a variety of items from a variety of people. You can put them into a single checkout, and that's your order, and you're good to go. On the back end, however, those merchants are going to get those orders kind of seamlessly into their portals. They're going to get notified. They're going to ship out the order, and they're going to get paid.
And so how do you make money?
Yeah, how we make money is we retain a percentage of sales from the marketplace.
Okay.
So one of our values is to be a better marketplace. And how we achieve being a better marketplace is we don't charge upfront account fees. We don't charge sign-up fees or registration fees or anything like that. And the percentage of sales that we retain is lower than the industry average.
Okay.
And we do that because our secondary mission is to elevate veteran brands. So, you know, I mentioned that these companies are already online and selling, and that's great. And they're really good at what they do, right? Whether it's making soap or wood flags or even sneakers, whatever it is they do, they're really good at that. But what's an uphill battle, especially for veterans transitioning out of the military, is online marketing. Online marketing is hard for anybody, whether you're a big brand. I mean, Nike spends $1 billion+ a year, right, on online marketing. It's because it's not that efficient and it's hard to do, and so you just have to throw all the money in the universe at it until you get the response you're looking for.
Okay.
And for a smaller company, yeah, it's hard for them to take that on in addition to the craft that they're doing on a day-to-day. And so that, for us, is the value that we bring to the table, is driving the traffic, not labeling the box.
Okay. When we come back, I want to talk about that, because I mentioned the collaboration I'm seeing more and more in the veteran community, and that's what I love about what you guys are doing. And when I come back, I want to talk about the power of the veteran network. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Hey, listen, you know, a lot of you listeners are familiar with the concept of challenge coins. For years, members and listeners, military and law enforcement, both have encouraged me to get one to present on behalf of American Warrior Radio. When the time came, I chose the good folks at Boss Custom Coins to mint ours. The process was easy. I visited BossCoins.com, chose from the wide selection of motif options, and their designers helped me finalize the coin. We went from concept to in my pocket in just 2 weeks. If you need a challenge coin or need to renew your existing coin order, send me an email, bbg@AmericanWarriorRadio.com. I'll personally put you in touch with one of the bosses at BossCoins.com for a special American Warrior Radio discount. I love our new Boss Coins. You'll love yours, too. Visit BossCoins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with co-founders of Apex Gear Company, Nick Wyatt and Drew Everett, our veteran entrepreneur segment for the month. You can learn more, visit apexgearcompany.com. Gentlemen, we're kind of coming down to the last bit of the hour here, but I've got two other questions I want to address real quick. The next Sun Tzuism, opportunities multiply as they're seized, and you kind of touched on this. I'm just wondering about, I guess time will tell whether you've invented a better mousetrap or not, but the SBA estimates there are 442,485 veteran-owned businesses with employees and other 208 million self-employed veterans out there. What are your thoughts on expansion? Is it always just going to be retail, or what about those service providers? We had a World War II merchant marine on the show, Dave Yoho, who's got just, I guess, one of the biggest consulting companies in the country now. Is there a way to make that work, or does that not work in the online marketplace world?
So, you know, at right now, you know, obviously we're just a, you know, exclusively retail. That's the easiest way to bring it to them. If there's a way to eventually leverage services or contracting and stuff, we'd love to be able to integrate that into the site. You know, that's definitely a future conversation we want to have. But as of right now, I mean, all of our focus is around trying to bring just that awareness to those product-based ones, because, you know, it can be tough. At what limitation would we have just as a company to be able to essentially build a Yellow Pages for, you know, service providers and stuff in so many different municipalities around the country. And, you know, and also being able to constantly monitor that to make sure it's up to date and make sure that, you know, people can access it and find it. We'd love to be able to have that. It's really just a time, and hopefully in a future iteration we'd be able to, you know, make that more streamlined so that people could find and have access to that type of stuff. But, you know, for the foreseeable future, it's definitely going to be more in the retail space.
Well, I tell you, it's working. I'm talking to one of your partners about a holster. I really wanted those gourmet potato chips, but apparently they're sold out, so I guess I'm stuck with a black violet seductive sophisticated soy wax candle. hey, to each their own. But let's talk about really the veteran, the support in the veteran workplace, the veteran network. Sun Tzu said, "Treat your men as you would your own beloved sons, and they will follow you into the deepest valley." What have you found about the power, or what are you discovering about the power of the veteran network across the country out there? Nick, let's start with you.
Yeah, so honestly, this has been the most humbling part of this entire experience for me. You know, the veteran network is, you know, the veteran community and the veteran network, they've just opened their arms, the entrepreneur community. It's almost as if you're entering the service for a second time, and you're getting the same or similar levels of camaraderie, but not with people that you went to battle with or that you were on a ship with or whatever, you know, job that you had, but with people that just have that similar shared experience of a military background and also are endeavoring to do something different and be an entrepreneur. And so it's been phenomenal. I mean, you can be talking about big companies, small companies. People are immediately, once they're signed on, they're like, "Hey, have you talked to this guy over here? Have you talked to them over there? I can make an introduction for you. I can do this. I can do that." People are opening up their Rolodexes. They're like, "Hey, we'll promote you on our social media so you can get them." They are, you know, it's been, I mean, almost across the board, there's been very few that haven't said that. And usually it's because they just don't have, you know, they're small and brand new and don't have that Rolodex yet. But everybody's been incredibly welcoming. Like I said, it seems like the veteran entrepreneur community is so much different, and it's so much more similar to, you know, when you were in service and, you know, that feeling of camaraderie when you walk over and you see guys that are in the same platoon or same company or same battalion or something. You guys are kind of all in this together. And that seems to be, you know, across the board, no matter which retail industry, and no matter, even if they're talking about direct competitors. Like, I've had direct competitors, you know, say, "Hey, you should go talk to this guy over here that makes almost the exact same product as them." There's mm-hmm. no financial incentive to that whatsoever, but they care so much about the greater success of the veteran entrepreneur community that they're willing to put them on there to not only help them help us, but to help just all veteran entrepreneurs. Well, and so that's just been really amazing.
And I'm sending you guys leads too. I'm going through my show archives of great veteran entrepreneurs we had on and sending them your way. Drew, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Nick nailed it. It's been humbling's the best word for that. I mean, it's you know, I've been in the Fortune 100 for about 8 years now, and you know, different roles, you know, two different companies, and you know, this kind of thing you just don't see in the civilian sector. The level of not only camaraderie, but collaboration, enthusiasm, help and support. You know, if they believe in the mission, they believe in, you know, they believe in you, they believe in the mission, then they're going to do their best to do their part, right, to get it over the goal line. And you just don't see that. You just don't see that in the business world at large. And, you know, my experience is limited and narrow, you know, in that regard. But so far I haven't seen that, and it's been just a sea change of experience. So it's been, humbling is the right word. So.
Well, gentlemen, I tell you, one thing I love about it, and I think I saw this in your press release, you talk about how men and women who no longer wear the uniform have so much more to contribute to society, and I couldn't agree more. So I'll keep promoting you guys. Folks, visit apexgearcompany.com. If you're a veteran entrepreneur out there that has something that might be a fit for the website, go ahead and send me a note, BBG at American Warrior Radio. I'll introduce you to Nick and Drew, and they can do the vetting and evaluate whether you'd be a great fit. And just what a fascinating concept, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking some time to join us here on American Warrior Radio today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us, Ben.
Hey, thanks, Ben.
And I'll try and hold those, at least one of those bath bombs back for me, will you?
Will do. Will do.
We'll make sure that
we talk to our vendors.
Well, and a reminder, folks, based on what's happening with our supply chain and logistics now, you need to get your holiday orders in now. Don't hesitate. Don't get stuck behind. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. You can find this and 300 other podcasts at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Find us on all major streaming platforms. And also, if you support what we're doing, maybe consider kicking a little money into the kitty, patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. That's patreon.com. You can help us expand these important messages. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
Been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.